What's good? We are back. Another episode live from Vietnam Fridays. Been a long year, man. Been a long year banging out shows every Friday pretty much. So we're gonna keep banging it out. We got a whole new year about to come up. Gonna be a lot of great interviews. Supposed to have a guest coming on. Don't know if the guest is coming on. I haven't heard nothing back from them when I sent the link. It's all good though, you know. I can freestyle and go off the top of the dome. Just did a pre-recorded interview with Mr. Lin from Company Flow. Please go check that out. Mr. Lin from Company Flow said some very interesting things in the interview. And we had a little discussion about J. Cole as well. Let's go ahead and get some promos out the way. Let's QR codes. Follow the Paul Pickett podcast. I just did an interview with Elvin Bandito Brito and Christine Vicens, who will be fighting tomorrow night for BKFC's women's featherweight belt against Christine Faria. So she's going to be going after the featherweight belt in BKFC. Check those interviews out. Got a bunch of new interviews on the way. We'll be interviewing the guy with the fastest knockout in combat sports, which was like 2.9 seconds. So definitely check that out. And got a bunch of new interviews coming. I just had some other fight organization that's has a competition for 10,000. Just hit me up wanting to interview people. BYB is supposed to be setting me up some interviews here soon. So I should be interviewing BYB Cats, BKFC, and other fight organizations as well. Don't forget, Dizzle. Do you Dizzle? Yes, I Dizzle. Dizzle is a premium luxury liqueur mix with agave, tequila, cognac, and orange liquor mango mix. And this show is definitely brought to you by Dizzle. Go to DizzleBrand.com. Order your very own bottle or bottles. Shouts out to my guy, Chris Roker, son of Wally Roker, who sung for bass for the original Heartbeats. And shouts out to Livio Harris, produced and found Adina Howard. And shouts out to the creator of Dizzle, Mike Dizzle. They out there in the West Coast with that beautiful weather while we got the sorry weather over here on the East Coast. Don't forget New Litter Apparel for all you dog lovers. Go to millions.co. Exclusively, we have the New Litter Apparel at millions.co. And it doesn't look like my guest is coming on. Sometimes people do come late. Some things do happen. Last time we did, when we did an interview with Smooth a Hustler, somebody reared his car right before the interview, so we had to reschedule. And we had to reschedule Illogy and a couple other cats. And that's the thing. Every time we had to reschedule, cats are really good about rescheduling. I had to reschedule the Black Sea interview, which I previously did that was last Friday. Check that out. Black Sea from RBL Posse. I ain't gonna lie, man. I almost got teary-eyed with that interview. Just thinking about both of his group members were murdered. Before I get in a couple of topics, I just want to go to rundown of some of the people we've interviewed this year. Just, you know, of course, Lenny Williams, Melvin Riley. Let's see, who else have we interviewed? Of course, we just had Black Sea interview. We interviewed Choclair. This year, we've interviewed Mr. Lin, Just Ice, Bogey Black, and Key to Life, CMG from the Conscious Daughters, my man Mr. Jones been on a couple times, interviewed Nonchalant, 5 o'clock in the morning, Elder Sensei from Artifacts, LG Prestige from OG Millionaire, Minnesota Money Boss Players, Pace One, Mr. Servon. We have Bishop Omega on from the Raleigh Durham area, raps and does comedy. Kid Sensation, who used to do music, was down with Sir Mix-a-Lot. Interviewed J. Cobb, Kid Called Quest. Smooth the Hustler, one of my favorite rappers of all time, man. I ain't gonna lie, I was like a kid in a candy store interviewing Smooth the Hustler, even though I've known him for over a decade. Gazner the Artist, really great musician, soulful musician. I think he's based out of Louisiana. Cayenne, the Lion King, he's got that the movie out. Illa G, of course, down with Mobb Deep, was good friends with Sean Price before he passed. Mickey Fax, I mean, the guy who breaks down everybody else's bars and lyrics and metaphors and punchlines. We had Logic DGC, who had a really good story about just trying to come on and get awareness for his daughter. That was, I guess, his baby mama dipped with his daughter, and he can't find them. She just took the kid and ran. Edgar Allan Flow out of Raleigh. My man UG from the Cellar Dwellers, Supreme the Elohim, Duck Down Records, Barry Benson, one of my clients, Stratus Digital Music, who basically had one of the first hip-hop mix shows on radio back in the days, and college radio at that, if I'm not mistaken. Hakeem Green, Channel Live, All I Do Is Spark Mad Ism. DJ Chuck T, who I definitely want to have on the top of the year. We had Josie Moe, really, really the heart and soul of Durham hip-hop, and really funny guy, man, doing a lot of comedy stuff. DJ King Flo out of France. Man, I mean, is that it? Is that it? Yagfu Front had Yagfu Front, and I need to have them back on. Dennis L.A. White and Lady Luck on one episode. And P.F. Cutting from Blase Blase, who I think was the first interview. I think P.F. Cutting was the first interview. Nope, that's right. We had Lenny Williams and Drug Beats. My bad. DV Alias Christ, Black Watch, Hood Demare. Yeah, so I think the first interview was actually my man DV Alias Christ. First interview to start out the year. Then we had Black Watch, Drug Beats, Hood Demare, and the great Lenny Williams. You know, I'm upset that Cass didn't tell me my microphone was messed up, man. That echoey microphone that was with that audio mixer. Damn, it's been a pretty good year, man, with interviews. We did the top 25 Boom Bap producer draft. I'd like to do that again, but something different, like another kind of draft. And this show actually started out with like five or six cats, and now it's just me, which is all good, you know. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm going to keep putting in work. I was doing this podcast and shit before Live from Vietnam. And I'll keep doing it until I'm 6 feet deep into the grave, man. So, doesn't look like my guest is coming on. Doesn't look like my guest is coming on. That's not, I mean, it's not going to bode well for any other unsigned artist. I could tell you that much. So there was a topic last night in my pre-recorded interview with. Oh, and I had Brother Jay from X-Clan. I forgot. Brother Jay from X-Clan just recently. And I did Mr. Lin from Company Flow pre-recorded yesterday. And something interesting he said when he was on Ruckus Records and why they left Ruckus. And it just made me think like how grimy and how shady record labels are, where they, you know, Company Flow was pretty much not really a mainstream group. They were really, really underground. They had futuristic sound and very experimental sound. So Company Flow was touring overseas at the time. And the label, you know, sent over sending some materials overseas for them to promote. And so, you know, they're going to get the mail, and they thinking they about to get, you know, some Company Flow flyers or some kind of promo to pass out or to sell, whatever it was going to be. And when they get the package, they said it was the Mos Def Body Rock, which is a dope single. And he said, you know, he did say, you know, they didn't have no problem with Mos Def in them, but like, it was really like a slap to the face. It's like, why would I be promoting some other artist's material on my tour that I'm headlining, and they're not even on the tour? I'm just because we're on the same label doesn't really mean much. I could see if they were signed under me, then yeah, that would make sense, you know. And so that was really the downfall of their deal with Ruckus, because Ruckus is sitting there sending other Ruckus artists material for them to promote, which is really crazy. It's like, you know, how do you know that they're even friends or even like each other? You sending the material just because they're on the same label don't even mean they're cool. Second of all, why would I promote somebody else's material on my tour? And then it's like even a slap to the face, because it kind of basically what they're saying is that Mos Def was more of a priority to Ruckus than Company Flow. And that's another problem with labels. They prioritize certain artists as this is number one priority, like TDE. It's like Kendrick, Schoolboy Q, and then Abso, and then J-Rock. And you know what's crazy about it? J-Rock actually is the first artist on TDE. He pretty much started this whole TDE thing. And he's kind of like at the bottom of the barrel with that. But I'm pretty sure he's not complaining. He's not unhappy. He's cool with his role. So, yeah, I thought that was one of the grimiest, shadiest things I heard that a record label did. Like, you actually sent some other artist's promo material to another artist for them to promote it on their tour just because they're on the same label. That doesn't mean they want to promote that other artist. It doesn't mean they're cool with that other artist. There's plenty of artists that signed to the same label that ain't cool. So I thought that was crazy. And then it made me think about what Paul Wall was also saying. Paul Wall put out a video recently where they was asking him why he hasn't signed no artists or put no artists on. And he made a lot of sense, man. He basically was saying, like, why would you sign underneath another artist? Because that artist isn't going to put the same energy into you that they will put into themselves, first of all. Second of all, they might not want to see you come up higher than them. They don't want to see you surpass them. Like, because think about hip-hop history. Typically, when artists put on other artists, how many times did you see an artist put on an artist that was bigger than them or that became bigger than them? I mean, like, M put on 50 Cent, but 50 Cent was only bigger than him at that moment and at that time. In the long run, Eminem is still a bigger artist than 50 Cent. And he probably still was, come to think about it. But just for that moment of them two albums, nobody was bigger than 50 Cent for those two album moments at that time. But once those album sales started to go from 10 million to 10 million to 5 million to 2.5 to 1.2, then it just, you start to see it leveling out, and Eminem is still like up here and 50's down here. The first time I seen an artist put on another artist and that artist became bigger than him was when Fat Joe put on Big Pun. Big Pun was bigger than Fat Joe. But before that, I can't think of one single person that signed an artist and that artist or the group of artists was actually bigger than them. Look at all the people 50 put on. None of them were bigger than him. None of them were T.I. Anybody T.I. put on bigger than him. Anybody Jeezy put on bigger than him. Anybody Rick Ross put on bigger than him. Did anybody Ice Cube put on bigger than him? I mean, have you seen anybody do that? Even Dr. Dre is questionable. Like, is Snoop and M and them really bigger than him? Because, I mean, he produced all their albums. You know, I never seen, like, nobody J. Cole put on is nowhere near as big as him. Nowhere near as big as him. And then I heard rumors that this is going to be the last Dreamville Fest. And I'm sitting there thinking, why would it be the last Dreamville Fest unless J. Cole is thinking about retiring? Is he thinking about calling it quits? Because Dreamville Fest ain't going to be what it is if J. Cole's not on the ticket. If J. Cole's not headlining Dreamville Fest, if he's not performing, it's not going to be what it is now. If you think Boss and Luke and all them is going to pack in Dreamville Fest without J. Cole, like it's being packed in now, you're delusional. You're sadly mistaken, man. It's not going to happen. It's definitely not going to happen. So definitely a guest is not coming on. And there was another topic I wanted to go over. I'm probably only going to stay on the 7:30. But the TikTok, the banning of TikTok. So Joe Biden and Democrats kind of pushed forward with this TikTok ban. I know Trump was talking about it at first before, but he never fully went through with it when he was in office. And now he's got a soft spot for TikTok because apparently TikTok has helped him with his sales and whatnot. And so basically we hopefully Trump gets in office, he'll relook at it and won't ban it. But a lot of people were questioning, like, what does this ban mean? What's going to happen is, like, if they ban TikTok in the United States, will it remove completely off your phone? Well, from what I've heard, that's not really the case. What I heard the ban will really consist of is that you won't be able to download TikTok on the app no more. So people who already have it downloaded on the phone, don't delete it, because then you won't be able to re-add it. And so any new people like trying to come in and create TikTok accounts, y'all probably want to create them right now, because once they remove it off of the app, you won't be able to download it off the app, because the app will probably get fines and stuff for having it on the app and allowing people to download it. And then they won't be allowed to update it. So whatever version you'll have of TikTok, when they ban it in United States, or if they ban it in United States, that'd be the last version. Like, there won't be no updates, no changes. They might be able to, that's the thing. Even if they change the algorithm, they won't be able to probably update it to the app, which is, you know, which means TikTok could come into issues later, like for the software running, if, you know, as operating systems update and operating systems advance and get better and upgrade themselves, that could cause issues. But from what I'm hearing, it's not going to be like you can't still use TikTok in the United States. Like, if you already have it on your phone, you should still be able to use it. You just won't be able to update it. And you won't be able to delete it and re-upload it because it won't be available in the app. Now, hopefully Trump gets in there, and if they do try to ban it, hopefully he gets that reversed. He, you know, because I would think if he's sitting there giving TikTok some of the credit for him winning this election, I would think he want TikTok to still be in place going forward for somebody like J.D. Vance, if he's the next nominee, or Tulsi Gabbard, or whoever it may be. I would think he would want TikTok to still be in place. You know, people keep talking about TikTok brainwashing kids, this, that, and the third. Well, parents need to step up and do their jobs. Parents need to take responsibility for allowing their kids on these apps. My sister doesn't allow her kids on apps and to have phones and things of that nature. You know, she controls that. Like, she probably going to make it where if they want to get, they want a phone, they're probably going to have to go get a job and get their own phone. You know what I'm saying? And so if you just, parents are just freely allowing their kids to do whatever they want on their phones, don't got parental locks on certain things, or not allowing, you know, parents can always say, yo, you can't download TikTok or do anything on TikTok. But parents are just letting kids do whatever they want, man. Like, I don't see the need for kids to have phones. People always say, you know, it's for emergencies and stuff like that. That's, y'all let the phone companies talk y'all into that shit. Y'all let the phone companies talk y'all into that shit, because that's bullshit. Because back in the days when there was just emergencies, use a house phone, use a pay phone, you know, or you could, if you're a kid, you could use an adult's phone for emergency, you know, but. Yeah, parents got to take responsibility for allowing kids to get on TikTok. I don't want to hear people complaining because TikTok's brainwashing their kids when they're allowing their kids to get on TikTok freely. Like, it's such a hypocritical stance, man. And even if they ban it in the United States, it still doesn't mean that you can't still market your music on TikTok. You just probably won't be able to, like if they completely take it off of all phones in the US, you'll still be able to market your music on TikTok to influencers overseas. And most artists stand a better chance of breaking overseas anyways. If you think you're going to break an American market just that easy, nah, it's way more expensive. That's one of the problems with the music business that I've realized. Everybody's trying to break this music in the U.S. market. When you try to break your music in the U.S. market, well, I hate to tell you, it's far more expensive. You know, if I run like $50 of ads, or let's say I run $1 a day of ads on Facebook. If I run $1 a day in the U.S. market or anything local, you're lucky if you're going to get 100 people viewing it per day. If I run it in like countries like Philippines or Estonia, Uganda, some South Africa countries or Japan or Asian markets, I might get 2,500 to 3,000 people viewing the ad. Opposed to America ads, you only get 100, might 130, 150 people going to view your ad if you're going off of U.S. only. If you go worldwide with it, you get more bang for your buck. But people are always concerned with, you know, they don't, what if they, you know, people speak language, these other languages in these other countries. Man, every country got motherfuckers that speak English. Like, it's literally a second language in every single country is speaking English. Every tourist resort in every country has people who speak English. So there's multiple people that speak English in every country. Almost every country has a lot of people who speak English. Damn near, I wouldn't be surprised if it's almost a requirement in those other countries to learn how to speak English. When we interviewed DJ King Flo, he speaks French and English. Over here, we just typically speak English unless you take it in school, like French or Spanish in school. So most people are making a mistake of trying to break their music in the U.S. market anyways because it's more expensive. Plus, U.S. is more of a bunch of haters. You get way more support overseas. You get way more engagement overseas. The shows will be more expensive if you get booked for shows. You get higher booking fees because it costs more to get you over there. So the shows are typically going to be bigger because it costs more to get you. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the thing. Like, it don't matter if you're doing a show in Africa. Like, if you're getting 10,000 over here, you're getting probably 15,000 to 20,000 over there. So they're going to make sure that all the Africans are coming out for that show, man, and turning up for that show because they want to make their money back, man. And it's, they got to have bigger shows just to make their money back, but they can have bigger shows because people actually come out and support more. They don't, you know, it ain't Haterville like Fayetteville. So, yeah, man, y'all need to stop just focusing on the U.S. market. Y'all need to be going worldwide with this. You get more bang for your buck. And if they do ban U.S., you know, influencers or ban TikTok U.S., you're going to have to go to influencers overseas. Because I could tell you right now, you're not breaking your music on playlists. If you think that's going to happen, you're delusional as fuck. You're dumber than a bag of bricks, man. Somebody dropped you on your fucking head at birth. Artists are being broke on social media, and that's really it now. They breaking artists on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I'm telling you right now, ain't nobody breaking no artists on Spotify. Not without social media. Not without social media. And so if they broke you on Spotify using social media, guess what? That means you broke on social media. So, you know, for people that's wondering what's going to happen with this TikTok thing, I tell you what, like, labels might be hurting because labels are using TikTok influencers heavy. Right now, it's all about ads and influencers, ads and influencers. So if you think, you know, hey, I'm not going to run no ads now that TikTok shut down. Oh, well, I'm not paying no influencers. I'm just going to keep trying this Spotify thing. You ain't never going to make it. I hate to tell you, but you ain't never going to make it. That's not going to work. And, you know, back to what Paul Wall was saying about signing with artists and Mr. Lin talking about Ruckus, you know, doing the grimy, shady shit. A big part of this problem with this business that we call the music business is that all the artists and the majority of the artists trying to get into it, they don't have their own money. They don't have their own money. And this is the thing about business. Like, everybody doesn't get business loans when they start businesses. Everybody can't afford to get business loans. Everybody doesn't qualify for business loans. Everybody doesn't get business loans when they start businesses. Majority of businesses are be started on your own dollars, you know, but music business, almost everybody in the business is trying to get somebody else to invest millions into them while they don't invest nothing. That's a problem right there, man. Then y'all complain about the deals being bad, but you get back what you put in. And your music doesn't have no value if you don't bring fans to the table. And that's why labels solely go off of fan base, social media fan base. That's why labels don't go off talent no more. Because you just bringing talent doesn't bring nothing to the table. If I'm putting up $1 million behind you, you better be bringing, you know, a good amount of fans already. You better be getting paid shows already if you expect me to put $1 million behind you. Because putting $1 million behind somebody ain't got no fan base, that shit don't always work. I mean, look at the J. Cole situation. His first album almost flopped. Because the first song was definitely not a single. It was definitely not a single. And for being signed with Jay-Z, it looked very low budget. It didn't look very Roc Nation-like. Perception is everything in this business. Perception is everything in this business. Look at Cardi B, man. Cardi B had freaking like a jaguar or a panther in a video. Looked like they had took her to Egypt in the desert. I mean, she looked like she was already rich as a bitch. So, yeah, man. That's a big problem in this business, man. Everybody's trying to get in this business and trying to get $1 million put up behind them, behind a label, but they ain't trying to like match that, or you ain't even meeting a label halfway. And then when your deal is go sour, you complaining, but you didn't invest a single dollar into it. I know y'all try to put this monetary value on your music, and this is art, and this is my art, and my art has this value and that value. Well, I hate to tell you, once you add it to the streaming platforms, whatever value you think your art has, it doesn't have it anymore. It has the value of $4 per 1,000 people listening, and that's it. You know why? Because you let streaming platforms dictate the value of your music when you put it on there. And I'm guilty as well. Nobody knew at first. Everybody was just running to the streaming platforms at first. It seemed good, but then when you see $4 per 1,000, and back in the days you sell a single for $2 and that was $2,000 of gross revenue. Even if you got 40% of that, that was $400. That's 100 times more than, you know, like they literally devalued your music like 1,000%. Once you put it on streaming platforms, your music is devalued 1,000%, man. 1,000%. And you're going to sit here and try to tell me, oh, your art is worth this and worth that. Nah, dog. No, it ain't. No, it ain't, because it's devalued. It's in a art pool of oversaturated art. I'm talking about 60 to 100,000 songs per day. And they only charging, you're only paying like $12 to listen to 60 to 100,000 songs per day. Man, your music is not even worth a penny, man. According to streaming, it's not even worth a single penny. So we need to get to this point where artists start looking for investors opposed to just trying to sign with labels. Try to find an investor and not try to find a label, at least not right yet. You know what I'm saying? Because if you can make it independently like a Tech N9ne, then you want to try to do that. You know what I'm saying? If you can make an investor, you know, millions of dollars off of his return by investing into a long-term investment, because music business ain't no short-term investment. You can't break no records in like 3 to 4 months. And even if you do, like, you better be touring heavy at the time. You better not do like Murray's peoples did and not have, like, not have him doing no features and try to break him. He broke to him during COVID. He wasn't doing no shows and none of that. So that's why he doesn't get as many shows as he should be getting. That's why he's not headlining a tour. So, yeah, y'all need to go and try to get investors opposed to just getting a record label. And if not, then you need to invest your as much money as you can afford into the advertising and influencers. And you need to pump out content. Like, that's the cheapest way to promote, is really just pump out a shit ton of content. Constantly pump out a shit ton of content, and good content at that, you know. But everybody trying to get to the record label, y'all, most of y'all coming to the record labels and y'all ain't got no money to invest into yourselves, or you don't want to invest no money to yourselves. Like, that's the thing. Most people sign, like, even people nowadays that are putting money in themselves and get to the point to sign with the label, as soon as they sign with the label, they kind of want to stop spending their own money. Which is really, it's dumb. It's stupid. If you already at the point where you made it off of, you had an investor or you invested in yourself, why sign with the majors? And just to, I mean, what? Just so you could say you signed to the majors? Because if they got to put up all the money and then you expect them to do all the work, which is pretty much nothing, because labels don't break artists at all. They might set up some ads here and there, pitch to some playlist, but, you know, most of the time nowadays, they're not even going to do the work. They're just going to give you the advance and make you do the work, because you pretty much did the work to get there anyways. But it's like, it makes no sense to sign with labels, because, you know, you're asking them to put up all this money. You don't match them on the money once you sign. You don't see too many artists like, if a label putting up $500,000, you don't see the artist putting up $500,000 his own. And then you upset because you might not got the money you thought you deserved out of this deal. But like, if you invest, you know, if the label's investing all the money, man, you're not going to get but scraps. I mean, why would nobody not think that's common sense, that you're asking somebody to invest all the money? Even if you invested all the money up to that point, now you're saying, hey, we're tired of investing all the money. Y'all put up all the money. Y'all distribute it. Y'all do whatever y'all do. We ain't going to put up no more money. We're just going to bring fan base to the table, and we're just going to try to make this bigger. I mean, that's cool and all, but that's not how it works in the business world. The money you put in determines the money you get back, man. It doesn't matter what business it is. So we got to stop thinking just because you bring music to the table or fan base to the table that labels are looking at as you bringing money to the table. Now, as soon as the label start paying all the money, man, that's and you don't start selling them a certain amount, you're going to be in debt. You got to recoup. That's the anything the label is going to give you is you got to recoup. So if you got to recoup money with a label, we know you ain't investing your own money into this no more. You pretty much said it's like Jadakiss and Styles P. That's why I don't really respect Jadakiss as a solo artist. Jada said he'd rather, you know, basically risk the label's money instead of his money, which is crazy to me because I'm thinking if I rhyme as dope as Jadakiss, if I'm as dope as Jadakiss, I'm betting on myself. I'm putting all my eggs in one basket and I'm betting on myself. But the fact that Jadakiss ain't willing to bet on himself says a lot. But Styles P is willing to bet on himself. He's willing to stay independent and put all the eggs in one basket and bet on himself, man. You know? So, yeah, man. Artists, I don't know why y'all would sign with other artists. I'm with Paul Ball on that. It don't make no sense. You're never going to be bigger than the artist that signs you. They don't typically want you to be bigger. They're not going to push you at the status that they're at. And if you were, and that's the thing, if you were going to be as big as the artist, you wouldn't be able to, you wouldn't have to sign with an artist. You'd be signing with a major label, or you'd have an investor, you know? So, and as far as the TikTok thing goes, that's going to be interesting, man. That's going to be totally interesting to see. Early January, we'll see if TikTok gets banned, and we'll see if it gets removed from people's phones or if it stays there. If it stays there, like I said, it just means you won't be able to update it, and you won't be able to like delete it and re-upload it. It won't be available on the app, and no updates will go to the TikTok whatsoever. They'll like shut that down, but you'll still be able to get on there and post and things of that nature. And musicians will still be able to distribute music probably to TikTok. Even if TikTok gets banned in the U.S., U.S. artists will probably still be able to get their music distributed to TikTok. You just have to go through international influencers. And there's tons of big international influencers. And it doesn't matter if they speak English or not, because a lot of these artists go to countries where they don't even speak a lick of English, and a sold-out crowd and that loves them. So y'all need to stop looking at it just the wrong way, man. It don't matter if somebody spends, like, speak English. It matters, are they going to spend money? I don't care what language a motherfucker speaks. Are you going to buy a ticket to the show? Are you going to buy a hat, a hoodie, a CD, vinyl? Who cares what freaking language they speak? It's all about the almighty dollars. Pesos, dinero, you know. And as far as the labels go, you want to stay away from the labels. You know, if you can't, you don't want to sign with an artist, and you don't want to sign with a label either. You want to just try to stay independent, man, if you can. Because if not, you're going to be on tour, and the label going to do you like company flow and send you some other artist's material to promote. I mean, can you imagine if 50 Cent was signed to Def Jam when he came out with those that first album, Get Rich or Die Trying, and Ja Rule's like on tour, and they sent him the 50 Cent material to promote on this tour? I mean, Ja Rule would be furious. You mad? I mean, it's like if Drake going on tour. I think Drake and Kendrick are both on Universal. So like it'd be like Universal saying, sending Drake like Not Like Us promo material to pass out while he's at his show, or have his team pass out. I mean, it's a slap to the face, man, for you to ask another artist who's headlining their tour to promote some other artist material that is not even on their album, not even on their tour, not even signed underneath them. They're just label mates. Like, who does that? But janky ass, shady ass labels. So yeah, man, y'all go back and watch that Mr. Lin interview I just did, pre-recorded. I'm gonna start doing pre-recorded interviews here and there. Just try to give people options to pre-record. Some people can't do the Fridays at 7 p.m., so I give them like a Thursday at 5 p.m. And you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Sundays, and Thursdays we do a bare knuckle MMA interviews, BYB interviews, whoever it may be. You know, I got some MMA interviews coming up here, some jiu-jitsu interviews coming up here real soon as well. Last 2 weeks, I didn't do music reviews. So, you know, I just been exhausted, a lot on my plate, doing a lot of interviews. Order's been pretty steady on my site, promopalace.biz, where I do advertising and influencer marketing for musicians. And we also service your music to DJs as well, because DJs still matter, because clubs still matter, and radio still matters, because as long as there's people still listen to radio, mix show radio campaigns still matter. Long as there's college radio still matters. As long as people are going to clubs and dancing to music, clubs still matter, and DJs still play music in clubs. DJs still play music on their mix shows and college radio and all that. And, you know, let me go ahead and throw the comment in there for y'all to submit the MP3 to livefromvietnam@gmail.com. I'll probably be doing music reviews around 3, 4 p.m. tomorrow. And we got the Bare Knuckle BKFC tomorrow, Hollywood, Florida, BKFC on DAZN. Got to tune in and watch a bunch of people that I've interviewed fight for that. And, yeah, man, so that's just my opinion, man. Try to stay away from labels if you can, because if you're signing with a label and you're not putting up the same amount of money as a label, then you're going to get crumbs out the deal. Try to find an investor. Try to stay independent. Definitely don't sign in another artist, because artists, I mean, like, especially if it's not an artist that didn't break themselves. If it's not an artist that didn't break themselves or don't know the formula of how they got broke or can't use the people that broke them to break you, yeah, like, it don't make no sense to sign with an artist that's never broke another artist. An artist that doesn't break music. Like, artists that get in the game and never promoted or broke an artist a day of their life, and now they want to start signing artists, you know? Like, if you're not an artist that broke yourself, then how you gonna break another artist? Tell me that. If you're an artist that never broke yourself, if you're not making a living off of this music, how the hell are you gonna have somebody else making a living off of this music if you're not even making a living off of this music? If you ain't broke yourself, how are you gonna break another artist? Because that's what you still gotta break artists. You still gotta build fan base up from scratch. Like DJ Chuck T said, one by one by one by one. You know? So, I think I'm about to wrap it up here. But, been a really good year. Next week, we got Gemini the Gifted One. Going to follow up with him Monday and make sure he's good. And I don't appreciate, like, the fact that tonight's guest didn't, I got no reply from their peoples when I sent the link. I got no reply back when I sent the messenger. And that's pretty much it. They ain't no rescheduling. They must think they've got more hits than like Lenny Williams or Melvin Riley or something. I don't know. And that's another reason why unsigned artists don't make it. Cause they don't take shit serious, man. They're not really trying to do the grind. They're not really trying to put in the work. They think there are certain things are beneath them and they're above doing certain things. Which is crazy. I mean, I just interviewed Just Ice and Brother J from X-Clan. I mean, ain't no unsigned artist from Fayetteville or Rayford or Raleigh bigger than them. I'm sorry. You're thinking a little too highly of yourself right now, man. You need to wake up and smell the Folgers, because we interviewing people 10 and 20 times bigger than you, people who had massive hit records. PF Cut and Danger, they was literally on radio for 10 months with that single. Channel Live Mad Ism, one of the biggest hip-hop singles of all time. Melvin Riley had a number one hit record in all the world when he came out with Oh Sheila. Number one song in the world when it came out. Then you got Lenny Williams. I mean, you know how many people done sampled I Love You? Everybody, their mama and their daddy. Well, we got to call it a night, man. I kind of had a feeling the guest wasn't gonna come on, and it's all good. I should get a bunch of good clips out of all this shit I was talking about. And if y'all didn't tune in and listen, hey, that's y'all's own fault. Oh, sound like it's about to rain. All right, make sure y'all submit livefromvietnam@gmail.com. Don't forget, let me get off some promos real quick. Paul Pickett Podcast. Don't forget, follow me in the Paul Pickett Podcast. Got a react video and interviews every week. Every day of the week, I got something being uploaded, whether it's a react or an interview. Dizzle brand premium luxury liqueur. Hopefully it's going to be a big year for Dizzle. Right now we're in California, Oklahoma, Kansas, Arkansas, and just got picked up in Georgia. So, and then of course, you know, my dog lover, for all my dog lovers, New Litter Apparel, man. Go to means.co exclusively on there, man. Well, appreciate y'all tuning in. Till tomorrow. Peace. I'm out.